Good morning. This is Fran Michel here with Denise Morris to talk about the 1986 film Rosa Luxemburg, directed by Margaret von Trotta.
Thank you, Fran. Yeah, we were wanting to celebrate post the month of March Rosa Luxemburg's birthday, which would have been March 5th. And had she lived, she would have actually been 144. She unfortunately had a short life, a short and wonderful political life that is somewhat well represented in this film. It's a great film, but again, you can't really put everything into the film. So we'll try to talk about the things that we appreciate about it, what it tries to do, and a little bit about its historical context and its film history as well.
It focuses mainly on the second part of Luxemburg's life. Well, we see a few flashbacks to her childhood, but it's mainly from around the turn of the century when she was active with the German Socialist Party through the events around, particularly around the First World War and her split from the German Socialist Party over the question of support for the military effort, and then founding the Spartacus League and the Communist Party in Germany to her death at the hands of the Freikorps, who later became Nazis. The film's chronology is nonlinear. We jump around a bit in time, but I think that it does something interesting in sort of giving us the sense of the way that events impact the future and our reflections of the past and the way that those events continue to resonate.
And this is a film that it was made in 1986, so there was well more than a decade or two of time where the new German cinema aesthetic had really become solidified, and the interest in making films that were more artistically influenced, that drew out political themes and took on more political subjects, made working people and people engaged in struggle, put them at the core of films.
Like a number of von Trotta's other films, it's very much interested both in questions around gender, around the experiences of women's lives. Her pretty well-known recent film was on Hannah Arendt, who was also played by Barbara Sukawa, who plays Rosa Luxemburg in this 1986 film. And von Trotta's films are often very interested in not only historical figures, but the experiences of women and the tensions around debates between reform and revolution or radical action as opposed to sort of strategic miliarism within the context of the present. And that's certainly something that comes across, all of those questions are things that really come across in the film Rosa Luxemburg.
And she's known for exploring issues related to female bonding and sisterhood, but also this question about the use and effect of violence. And that is a very important part of the Luxemburg film. She was known to be a pacifist. Her political engagement around the emerging question of whether to support the war is key, and it's a key to her break with the German Socialist Party, Social Democrats, and a key to her deeper radicalization, I think. And the film really does draw that out. One thing I love about this film is that it almost seems like an anti-costume drama or period drama, but it has that flavor in a good way for us working class people, because there's lots of scenes of people gathered together in one place or another, dinners. There's a New Year's Eve turn of the century party where folks are dancing and everybody's engaged in just having this great party, and it's fun, it's loose. There's hope and optimism about the possibility to actually achieve goals, and the kind of dynamic between the different ways of framing politics and the debates around what to do, when to do it. It all comes out in these very well-orchestrated social situations, I think. On the other hand, there's a lot of time where Luxemburg is in prison by herself or with her cat.
Well, she did not take her cat to prison. She had the option, apparently, of doing that and thought it would be too cruel because Mimi liked to be around lots of people, and she spent a lot of time alone when she was in prison. Although it looks pretty cushy for much of her time in prison. She has a library, she's allowed to read and write and study and correspond, and she's busy radicalizing the guards and encouraging them to read more Tolstoy.
Throughout her life, she wrote many, many letters, and that is another focal point of the film, used to tell not so much more of the story itself, but more, I think, of that inner life of Rosa Luxemburg and her beliefs about many things, but in particular about love and about the desire for a normal, quote-unquote, life, a family, comforts of sorts that any one of us could wish to have but couldn't have until the revolution, till the work of the revolution would be done. But she really spent a lot of time working through this stuff and coming up against a lot of resistance with, of course, her partners and other men in her life and women as well.
And one of the things we see in the film is her very strong friendships with a lot of women, including Clara Zetkin, who is the inaugurator of International Women's Day. And there are a couple of scenes where the men in the party are sort of encouraging Rosa to work on women's issues. And she says, oh, that Clara will do that. She's not a 1980s feminist by any means, but she's certainly grappling with issues that continue to be, through the 80s and into today, issues for a lot of people, particularly women, but not exclusively, around gender, around having children, around the tensions between, you know, wanting to have a life that looks, quote unquote, normal, right? Wanting to have sort of some of the material comforts and personal relations that are really important to sustaining life, but also recognizing the importance of doing the kind of work that she was doing. Of course, they also thought, you know, the revolution was right around the corner and everything was going to be fixed like within their lifetime. Then they could sort of retire after the revolution, which sadly did not happen.
We're still waiting, but yeah, sadly it did not happen. And so we also get in the film a taste of the deep distress and disappointment that she experienced. And some of that comes out during her time in prison, but afterwards as well, faced with actually the move from an imperial government to a republic happens during the course of this film, but there's no actual belief that things will change all that much, because then this question about reform versus revolution still lingers. And as it turns out, the folks who are really advocating for revolution are seen to be repressed by their own comrades.
She was opposed to the kind of democratic centralism, as it was called, that Lenin stood for after the Russian Revolution. She was also opposed to the kind of reformist changes and selling out to get into government and just being happy with reform that one of her comrades, Bernstein, advocated for. There's a scene in that fabulous turn-of-the-century party that we get to see where she said she declines to dance with him because she can't dance with him tonight and then argue with him tomorrow. But we see the conflict over the questions of participating in the system that already exists versus working against that system and trying to always push it farther, which is what Luxemburg is advocating for, the tensions between moves that Lenin and so on argued for of having a strong party enforcing discipline and insisting on the right answers, as opposed to Luxemburg's belief in the spontaneous action of masses of people and the notion that mass strikes would come about if the working classes were sufficiently educated and understood their position and would mobilize themselves in ways that their leaders would not necessarily be able to predict. And of course, the Social Democratic Party came into power after World War I and in what became the Weimar Republic after the fall of the Kaiser and the monarchical state. But their alliance with the military, who were later the source of power for the Nazis, shows the dangers of some of those attempts to work within the system and to make common cause with the rightists who are clearly not on the same page.
Yeah, to say the least. And how do we answer the questions that need to be answered when it comes to the tensions between this kind of vanguard leadership and mass movements where people on a very large scale are ready to say enough?
And I think we see the building of mass actions today clearly in the various Occupy movements, in the Indignados, but then you face right groups that when they come to state power, like Syriza, are caught between the pressures of the European Union and international finance, as opposed to the immediate demands of the population of Greece who want food and want all of the resources that they should be entitled to and that Syriza would believe in too. So, I mean, these are persistent tensions, and I think that's also one of the things that comes through in this sort of back and forth chronology in the film, that we get her reflecting on the past and looking to the future, and we move through time in these fairly complicated ways, and we get actually at some points archival footage of World War I and of the German Revolution after World War I. And we have this sort of awareness that we're getting a version of history, but also that it's persisting in these various tellings, that the conflicts that she's dealing with in the film are things that were live questions in some ways when the film was made and are live questions today.
I think that's what I appreciate about the film, is it can in some ways be both. We never forget that there's a large and complicated political, social context that all of this is taking place in, with a lot of history on both ends coming into the century and about to move into the mid-century. We don't see any of that, but also that this is still a good story about Rosa Luxemburg in its way, in its new German cinema kind of way.
And Barbara Sukawa, who plays her, won Best Actress at Cannes that year. It's a fabulous performance. And although, as you said, it's not a kind of period piece costume drama, they do have fabulous hats. I gotta say, they have those fabulous hats they had back in those teens.
Yeah, it's Downton Abbey German style, German working revolutionary style. So, well, we recommend the film, and I think the film led both of us to explore lots of things around it. And I think that's what's fun about what the old moles do, because we get smarter, and we hope that we'll encourage others to go out and kind of do the same.
Dig, keep digging. Rosa Luxemburg, the film directed by Margaret von Trotta, is available on YouTube, surprisingly enough, and it seems like not very many other places. But we recommend it.
Yes, we do.
This has been Fran Michel and Denise Morris for the Old Mole Variety Hour, talking about Rosa Luxemburg.